Thanks, Shane. Man, something you prayed just really like struck a chord with me. I don't know if you caught what he was saying. He said he was glad that God meets us not where we're supposed to be, but where we are. I don't know if you came to church today thinking, well, maybe God will meet with me if I'm where I'm supposed to be, at church on Sunday or in this particular, in my seat, but the God that we're worshiping meets us where we are, not where we're supposed to be. And that just kind of rang true when he said that and prayed that. Thanks, Shane, for leading us. Well, good morning, church. Good to see you. We're going to be in both Mark 12 and Romans 12 today, continuing in the series, and we'll get there in a minute. I've got several really important things to share with you this morning. I don't know what slide you have queued up first, so throw the slide up there, and then I'll just make the announcement. Okay, first of all, I get to let you know that we have hired a new communications manager. Not to point her out and embarrass her, but she's sitting right there, and her husband was just on stage. So join me in welcoming Caleb Belter as our communications manager. That's right, yeah. As you probably know, Jennifer Henderson has been in that role for several years, doing a great job, recently transitioned to leading us in worship. And so that left a hole there, and Kayla has actually been serving as a volunteer for like a year and a half on that team, just coming in faithfully, just like she gets paid without getting paid. And so it was just a natural fit for her to slip in, and she went through the whole interview process, just like we didn't know her, and no surprise at the end, this is who God had for us for this role. So Kayla, we're excited to have you on board officially as a staff member. Next up is going to be, all right, kids camp. If you have a kiddo that meets the criteria of third through fifth grade, like currently in third through fifth grade, today is the last day to register for kids camp. Wanted to stop and acknowledge that because camp happens early for our kids. It's like right at the end of school when summer begins, which means registering happens a lot earlier than maybe what we're thinking about. Normally we think about registering kids or students for camp. We're like, oh, we still got time, but we don't. Kids camp registration, it closes today. So make sure you register your kiddo, or if you know somebody who has a kiddo in this age, reach out to them and say, hey, did you know that registration closes today for kids camp? So want to make sure you knew that. And then finally, ladies, this is for you. No slide on this one, I don't think. This Wednesday night, just a reminder, women's ministry, this Wednesday night at 6:30 in this room. It's the last one of the semester for the ladies. So just wanted you to be aware of that. If you're like, well, I'll catch the next one, well, that's fine, but that's going to be like next September. So be sure you're here this Wednesday, 6:30 in this room for a time of teaching, a time of worship, and a time of connecting with other ladies. If you're kind of new and you're like, I really want to meet some other ladies, this would actually be a really good place to come and get to meet some ladies at women's ministry. So that's Wednesday at 6:30. All right, we are going to get into, I'm going to start in Mark 12. This is the passage that we've been pulling apart over the course of 4 weeks. We're in a section of our larger series where we're looking at what does it mean to love myself, and we define that the first week as having an appropriate care for myself. We're not talking about love of self, we're talking about love for self, like what does it look like to just be a healthy steward of being created in God's image. And so we're going to come back to that at the end of this part of the series, but what we're doing right now is we're really pulling apart what does it mean to be a human created in the image of God. A biblical anthropology of what does it mean to be a human when viewed through the lens of Scripture? What does God say about you and me and in the ways that he has created us in his image? And so in Mark 12, I'll read this for us again. I'll start in verse 28. A reminder, this is a conversation between Jesus and somebody who was really trying to trap him. We read this, that one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he, that's Jesus, answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And so what started as an attempted trap for Jesus becomes a profound moment where Jesus not only answers the man in a way where he doesn't get trapped, it really beautifully highlights a lot of the purposes behind why we exist. And so he answers in verse 29, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that's the verse that we're pulling apart into 4 weeks. And then the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so the first week we looked at, what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our heart? That God is not calling us to check out from our feelings and our passions and desires, but to bring those to him. Last week we looked at, what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, with our ability to think and reason? How do we love God with our minds? And this week we're going to talk about how we love the Lord our God with all of our strength. So we'll come back next week and we'll deal with how do we love the Lord our God with our soul. And so this week is strength. I want to start, just like we have the last 2 weeks, with the definition of strength from a biblical perspective. What do we mean? So here it is. There's the Greek word. It is the ability, force, strength, might, and effort. So this is describing your ability, your force, your strength, your might, and your effort. This could be understood as one's physical strength, but also extends to a person's resources, abilities, and efforts. To love God with all your strength means dedicating your abilities, resources, and the work of your hands to serve God as an expression of your affection for him. Okay? And so last week we talked about the danger of only loving God with all of our hearts, that sometimes that tends to happen, maybe in a church environment, and maybe a church is just really good at loving God with all their heart. And in this particular type of church environment, you'll find a lot of passion in prayer and passion in worship, and you get a lot of passion, but what can tend to happen is you can begin to drift away from sound doctrine and theology over time. If all we do is love God with all of our hearts and we don't engage him with our minds, we can end up in some dangerous waters, theologically speaking. We also talked about the danger of, if I just love the Lord my God with all my mind, then what will tend to happen is I'll attract people who are deep thinkers, and we will think deeply about God, but we'll leave our hearts behind, and our affections for God won't show up in our thinking about God. And we'll become a place that is full of high thinking, lofty thinking, deep understanding into theological principles, but again, our hearts are left far behind. And it talks about how oftentimes these two churches will look down on one another. The church that's full of heart will say, man, you guys don't have any heart in what you do. It's like you're just going through the motions. And the church of high thinking will look at those who worship God with all their heart but leave their minds behind and say, yeah, it's just fluff. There's no substance to it. Well, there's a danger today around loving God with all of our own strength and leaving our hearts and minds behind. And here's the danger: legalism. A church that only loves the Lord their God with all of their strength, all their effort, all their service, the work of their hands, if that's all we do, we will become a works-based church. And we will begin to drift towards a works-based gospel. God only loves me when I get it right. I want to matter to him, but I only matter to him when I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. And so then your relationship with God is contingent on you always getting it right, and that becomes a works-based gospel. And so today we're going to dive into this understanding of what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your strength. And so in Romans chapter 12, which is where we're going next, just invite you to turn there. We're going to walk through part of this chapter. I was really tempted to do the whole chapter, but I know you have lunch plans and and dinner plans. And so I just extracted out the most poignant part of this chapter that addresses loving God with all of our strength. So I would say to you, I would commend to you to go back this week and read the whole chapter. Okay, so we're going to pick this up in verse 9. And we're going to read 9 through 13. Here it goes. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, what happens, so this section of Romans 12 is describing what it looks like to love the Lord our God with all of our heart in the context of the church. If you keep reading, if you go back and read the rest of this later this week, the next section is going to show you how to love the Lord your God outside the church. We just don't have time for that today. So we're just going to focus on what should it look like when I walk in the doors of this building, or I walk into the door of one of your houses, or you walk into my home, or we meet each other at Starbucks. What does it look like to love my God, the Lord my God, with all of my strength when I'm with you? And so he begins with this, let love be genuine. Now this is we're gonna talk a little bit about the original language of, this is in Greek. This particular word love is agape, okay? And so in a minute, a different word is gonna be used and we'll talk about it then, but this is agape love. And what's interesting is he doesn't just say, hey, have agape love. He says something about our agape love. He says this, let your agape love be genuine. Now, this Greek word that we translate into genuine means two things. Sincere, but it also means irrevocable, unchanging, unconditional. So let your love of who? Love of God, love of your neighbor, love of self. Let it be sincere. Make sure you mean it. You're not just going through the motions, but let it also be unchangeable, irrevocable, genuine. And so the first expression of loving God begins with having a sincere love. I can't love the Lord my God with all my strength if I don't first stop and evaluate my affection for him. Is your love of God sincere? Do you truly have affection for God that is unchanging, irrevocable, it's static, it's fixed? So the first principle we're going to throw up today is this. I'm going to hit a lot of principles today. If I go too fast and you miss one, last week this happened, a couple people were coming up afterwards. I went ahead and I thought ahead. I printed out some extra copies today. Just come see me afterwards. But we are going to move somewhat fast. And the first principle is this. Love the Lord your God with all your strength by first letting your love be sincere and irrevocable. We have to start there. Now what's going to happen is, in this passage, in the original language, this is really the command, the imperative command, and what follows are 10 more principles of how to do this. So everything that comes after this is meant to stay connected to this. And so the way that we're going to roll this out with each principle is we're going to add the phrase, love the Lord your God with all your strength by, because we can't separate it. And here comes the next part, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Now we get a different form of the word love. I actually have two forms in this particular verse. You may have heard of brotherly love, Philadelphia, that Greek word. That's the one at the end. The one at the beginning of the verse is similar, but it's different. It's philostorgos, which is actually like a familial love. So one is specifically brotherly love, and the other one's like a parent towards a child. And so what I think God is getting at here is your love for one another should be familial. You're not just a member of a club. This isn't just a place where you show up and you see people that look familiar, like we would take a step closer to one another in the church. We were actually talking about this in our community group this past week. We had a really sweet time together. And somebody asked the question, how come Sundays don't feel like this? And I said, well, it's because on Sundays, like, you don't know everybody. So you actually can't get to this level of familial love if all you do is just kind of show up on Sunday, hide out, and then leave, I'm glad you're here. I really am glad you're here. It's an important part of your spiritual journey, but this is describing something that happens kind of behind the scenes. It happens over, you know, desperate phone calls and impromptu coffees and right in the trenches of real life. You know, the thing about familial love is this, is not that it's absent from disagreements or conflict or hard times. It's that we go into those hard times with our family expecting to still be family on the other side. Right? That isn't always a description of how things work in the church, is it? Sometimes we go into conflict and we go our separate ways on the other side. But a familial love, a Philadelphia love would say this, I'm going into this conflict or this hard situation with you, first acknowledging you're my brother, you're my sister, so I expect that to still be true on the other end. And so he says, let your love be genuine, starting here, love one another with brotherly affection. The second principle is this, love the Lord your God with all your strength by loving one another with brotherly affection. We could go to a number of different passages in the New Testament where our love for God is intimately connected for our love for one another. If you love me, you'll love one another. Over and over again, God reminds us of this. So my love for God is connected to my love for you. If it's sincere, if it's irrevocable, if it's genuine. The next thing he says, this is outdo one another in showing honor. This word honor is the idea of bestowing value, like setting a price on something. That's the Greek word here. So like if you were down at the flea market and you set a price on your valuables, what they're worth to you, that's the word you would use. How much do you honor these things? If you don't care, put a low price and get it out of your garage. But if it matters to you, you're going to put a high value and say, if you want this, you're going to have to pay for it. Now apply that to your relationships with one another. Set a high value on one another. And he actually says, outdo one another. Try to overprice one another in the way you honor one another in the church. So here's principle three. Love the Lord your God with all your strength by outdoing one another and showing honor. Now we're going to move to the next verse, verse 11. And what you're going to see is we could have stopped this series and we could have broken this apart into 10 sermons, which would have been fine. But I think that the reason Paul is jamming so much into this is he wants us to see all these things connected to each other. I think it'll be super obvious, especially in these next three or four. So the next thing he says is this, do not be slothful in zeal. Those two words we really don't use a lot, slothful and zeal. You probably have some idea what they mean. Zeal is the idea of passion or pursuit. Slothful is to be lazy. Don't be lazy or unmotivated in your passion or your pursuit. To have real zeal for something or someone means you're going to pursue them. Right, married people? Passion, real passion, moves you. It's an energy. Right? And so he's saying, hey, let's remember this. Don't be lazy in your pursuit. Pursuit of what? So here's the fourth principle. Love the Lord your God with all your strength by not being slothful in zeal. And so then he comes right after that with this. Be fervent. Be fervent. This Greek word is like to bubble up or boil over. Be fervent in what? Spirit. So the idea here is to bubble over with passion. Don't be lazy in your pursuit of things, but instead let your passion boil up and bubble over. Let it spill out on the rest of your life. Be fervent in spirit. And Luke will use this to describe a believer by the name of Apollos in the book of Acts. Acts 18:25. We're not going to have this on the screen, but he says this about Apollos. And being fervent in spirit, talking about Apollos, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. So Apollos was not one of the original disciples, but he became a believer, and he was fervent in spirit. And Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, is like, hey, he was so fervent in his spirit, like he was faithfully committed to just everything he wrote, everything he taught, everything he said was so accurate. Like it mattered to him to get it right. And so he was fervent in spirit. So not only are we not being slothful with our zeal, principle five, we love the Lord our God with all of our strength by being fervent in spirit. And then we get this next little phrase, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? Well, if Jesus showed up at my house and knocked on the door and I answered it, I knew it was Jesus, I would know how to serve him. Hey, good to see you. What are you hungry? You need something to drink? You look tired. Here, come in and have a seat. Right? How do we serve one another? We look for the needs and we look for an opportunity to then serve one another. And so how do I serve Jesus being somebody that lives in 2024? And I think this takes us back to the relationship between love of God and loving others. And actually, if you'll back up in this passage, the verses before verse 9 talk about how we serve one another with our spiritual gifts. And so we serve Jesus by actually serving one another. Jesus will talk about this in the Gospels where he says, hey, like when you're meeting the needs of the least of these, you're actually doing this for me. It's like you're serving me. And so we're not going to be slothful with our zeal and our passion, our pursuit. We're going to be fervent in spirit, right? We're going to let it kind of bubble over, and it's going to show up in our serving of the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, it'll show up in the way I serve you, in the way you serve me. You see how that's all connected? And so then our next principle is this. We love the Lord our God, principle six, with all of our strength by serving the Lord. Now, you're going to notice a pattern here. I'm basically just pulling a piece of the scripture out and adding a phrase to the beginning of it. It's not rocket science. Here's why I'm doing that. All of our efforts and expression of strength cannot be disconnected from our affection for God, because the moment it does is the moment we begin to move towards a works-based gospel. Serving out of a wrong motive. And so we'll continue to keep that together here as we go to the next part. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. There are other places we could go, Romans 5, James 1, that pull this idea apart even further and go a little deeper. But rejoicing typically has to do with what's going on right now. Hope has to do with the future. So it's like, let your rejoicing right now be tethered to what you know is going to happen in the future. Okay, so my rejoicing is not always circumstantial. If you're a baseball player and you hit a home run, that's worth rejoicing about something that just happened. Right? But in those moments that are really hard, that right, we can still find a rejoicing if it's tethered to a future hope that's worth rejoicing in. And so actually what he's going to say now, again, he's going to string some ideas together. So he starts with this, let your rejoicing be connected to your future hope. Principle seven, love the Lord your God with all your strength by rejoicing in hope, which leads us right into what? Be patient in tribulation. Ah, okay, there it is. So even when I don't hit a home run, even when life takes an unexpected turn, even when I find myself in a hard and desperate situation, I can love the Lord my God by doing what? Being patient in the tribulation. Patient is the idea of enduring, waiting upon the Lord, long-suffering. Being patient in my tribulation or in my suffering. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and hopefully this will connect. The Bible never calls you as a Christian to ignore your suffering or disconnect from it so that you can be joyful. Okay? So he's not saying, pretend like things aren't hard and your heart will be happy. Now, We see that sometimes in the church. We fast forward to what we know is going to happen. And in doing that, sometimes it becomes a coping mechanism of like, I don't even want to see what's over here. I'm just going to focus on this thing and I'm going to talk myself into being happy. Here's what I would propose to you. You can hold sorrow and joy at the same time. You can hold grief and joy at the same time. If you go to the funeral of somebody that matters to you, who you know is a believer, this is a place where I see it. It's like, let's just talk ourselves into being happy and throwing a party because they're in a better place. And I would go, yeah, let's hold that. That's true. But let's also what? Grieve as those who have hope. As Paul says in Thessalonians, we can hold both at the same time. Just because my heart is feeling sorrowful doesn't diminish the idea that I can have joy in a future reality. That Jesus is coming back again, that we will resurrect from the dead, that this family member is in a better place. And so the call here is not to like, hey, pretend like things are better so you can put on your happy Christian smile. He's like, no. Let's be joyful in hope. Let's be patient in our tribulation and suffering because it's going to happen. And then he tells us this, and I think this is connected. So let me get the principle eight is this: love the Lord your God with all your strength by being patient in tribulation. Which will lead us then to the next principle: be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. I really would love to spend more time on this one. This being constant, it means to keep close at hand or to remain faithful to a person. That's the Greek word here. Keep your relationship with the Lord close at hand. Keep your relationship with the Lord close at hand. So prayer isn't just for those really desperate moments where I've got nothing but a Hail Mary. Maybe God will show up and do something. But my prayer life should be tethered to my relationship with God. If you hear this, be constant in prayer, and immediately you're like, okay, I'm going to set a bunch of alarms on my phone, and I'm going to put a rubber band around my wrist, and I'm going to, right? You're trying to will yourself into constant prayer. What I'm going to say to you is you're going to fail. Constant prayer comes out of this constant relationship with the Lord, keeping him at hand, which is closely connected to your neediness. You need the Lord right now. I don't even know what's going on in your life, and I know you need the Lord right now. Not tomorrow or next week, now. And 2 hours from now, you're going to need the Lord. When you lay your head down on your pillow tonight, at whatever time that is, you're going to need the Lord, and you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to need the Lord. Staying constantly connected to your relationship with the Lord. As long as you are operating, and I am operating in my own strength, I'm not loving the Lord my God with my strength. You with me? And so this command to be constant in prayer is not, okay, take the days of your hour and put them on a spreadsheet and put a box next to it, and every hour you set an alarm and you check your box and you say a quick prayer. This is to keep your relationship to the Lord close at hand. Be constant in prayer. So principle nine is this: love the Lord your God with all your strength by being constant in prayer. It's out of your love of God that you pray. All right, the next two he expresses here are connected as well. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints. And this is the way that our tithes and offerings is described in the New Testament. Okay, and so it's called the contribution to the saints. This happens all over the New Testament. Paul's talking about it in Corinthians, about why it's important and how it's connected. But what's beautiful about the church is like, what they started doing in Acts 2, once the church began, they started doing this just like out of the bubbling up and overflow of their zeal for the Lord, without even being told to do it or explain. They just started like giving generously to one another, giving generously to the church. And so this principle, this is not, you know, to be leveraged in a fundraiser so we can build a new building. This is a part of our, actually our relationship with God, is that we would be generous with our resources and that we would give to the church. Let me just put this in like practical perspective. I was actually meeting with somebody here recently who's a longtime member. I think they've been a member for over 12 years. And I just know because they told me that they're faithful tithers. Like this is a principle they believe in. That's part of the relationship with God, and they've been faithfully tithing in good seasons and bad. Okay, I just know that because they've shared that with me. I don't go look at the tithing records. But this recently, this person came to me, and now they're at a place of need. And as I was kind of talking through what they needed and getting them connected, they were like, yeah, but I can't afford that. I know I need that, but I can't afford it. And I'm like, well, what about your church helping you out? And the difficulty in their heart was this: that feels weird that I've been tithing for so long and now I'm in need. Won't that look funny to the elders or the pastors of the church? And I was like, no, because we don't even know. So nobody's even going to have that thought. But here's what I followed that up with. If you only knew how many people you have served by your faithful giving, how many marriages that we've sent to counseling, and families that wouldn't be able to get back on their feet, and you know, kiddos that have been, you know, pulled out of rough situations. I just, it came to me this list of all the things that the Lord has done through your generous contributions over the years. And as I'm laying this out, this person just starts weeping. And I just ended with, now it's our time to get to do this for you. See, that's the heart of the contribution of the saints. It's a contribution to the saints. Your giving to God is a giving to one, the serving of one another. It's connected. It's why we try to say that every Sunday. Like, if you've come prepared to give, can we remind ourselves that, hey, you're not a member of an HOA here. You're not paying your membership dues. You're not going to give, put money in a box and then go check your checking account and look for a magical, you know, lottery win of some sort. Like, no, we do this because our hearts are all in. We do this. God's called us to do it. But listen, not separated from our relationship with Him. And so Paul brings it up here and says, listen, if your love is going to be sincere and genuine, here's what it's going to look like. This would be principle number 10. Love the Lord your God with all your strength by contributing to the needs of the saints. If you need help with that, hey, we welcome, just offline conversations with elders and pastors here. If like you want more around that, how does that work? Please talk to somebody. Then the last thing, and I think is connected to this, is to seek to show hospitality. We can't separate it from seek. Seek to show hospitality. The way we word that here is we come to church looking for somebody looking for us. So you came to our church today. If you're a visitor, there was some hope inside of you that somebody was looking for you. Somebody would see you. Somebody would notice you. If you're a regular here, come to church looking for somebody looking for you. And the word here, seek to show hospitality, hospitality here is a kindness to strangers. So even here in our church, where we're called to brotherly, familial love one another, we're also supposed to keep an eye out for somebody who's new. For some people who go to church for the first time, church is strange. You're strange. Like, just talking with a visitor, like, I don't even know where the bathroom is. Like, look for somebody who's walking in looking for somebody, looking for them. Seek to show hospitality. And then this can also translate into your own home, how you open up your own home to strangers and you welcome them in. Seek to show hospitality. So the last principle this morning is this: love the Lord your God with all your strength by seeking to show hospitality. Everybody in this room has been a stranger, a visitor, a new person, an outsider. That's a scary place to be. Go online, you try to find a church, you're like, if I show up, will they be nice to me? Will they welcome me in? Will they be glad that I'm here? Okay, again, if you're a member, if you're one of the saints of Solid Rock Church, this is our command. Our sincere love of God will show up in our actions and our efforts by how we seek to show hospitality and welcome people. So what I want to do now is I want to connect all this back to our hearts. Here's the danger. If we just take the last 10 principles of those 11 and we make a checklist and then we start trying to go out in our own strength and doing, you're going to fail miserably and you're not even going to be doing what Jesus asked you to do. Everything we do for God has to be connected to our love for him, our affection for him. Paul makes this super clear, and we'll end here in 1 Corinthians 13. I feel like he's already made it clear here in Romans 12, but let's look at it again. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't go there. It's this beautiful passage that describes how God, through his Holy Spirit, has gifted you as members of the church with spiritual gifts. And the point of it all is not so that you can win awards and you can have the spotlight, but the point of it all is so that you can serve one another. And I've got something you need, you have something I need, we serve one another. But then the very next chapter gives us a warning, and that's where I want to land today. So all of that is chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But look at how the next chapter starts in verse 1. If, and it's going to basically, if I do that, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You get a kind of a visual, maybe an audible in your mind, like the big brass cymbal, and we just hit it with a hammer, and it's just like, oh, that hurts my ears. And verse 2, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Think about where we landed around hospitality and generosity. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, not just a tenth, all I have. And if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. That's a reminder of the danger of serving the Lord our God, disconnected from our love of the Lord our God. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I said, hey, we want to be careful not to overcompartmentalize what it means to be human. The reason Jesus does this and says it all together is because these can't be separated from one another. My heart needs my mind, right? My doing and my effort, my strength needs my heart. It's all connected. And so Jesus says this, here's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, all of that connected to one another. And so we'll come back next week and look at what it means to love the Lord our God with all our soul. Here's what I want to do now. I want to end with some reflection questions for us. We'll put these on the screen for you to think about. Here's the first question. Does your love for God show up in your devotion to others? I can't answer that for you. I really can't. You know why you serve other people. You know why you desire to be kind. Is it because you have this love for God that's bubbling up and overflowing in your love for others? Does your love for God, this is the second question, show up in your financial generosity? Jesus is like, hey, show me where your treasure is. I'll show you where your heart is. You can't separate those things. Third question. Does your love for God show up in your hospitality towards others? The way you welcome people, greet people, invite people in. Fourth question. Does your love for God move you to constant prayer, keeping the Lord close at hand. And then this last question, how can you utilize what you've heard today to love God with all your strength this week? Like, what could look different this week? Now remember, we're not calling you just to go out and be doers. We are calling you to just think about your love for God, your affection for God, and this God that you love is saying, go do these things. And so how can you go this week and serve him by serving others because your love for him is genuine? So how could you utilize what you've heard this week to go and to love God with all your strength? Let's pray together. Before we do, just a quick reminder, and we'll have prayer partners up front. They came to church today looking for somebody, looking for them. They're here to, they're seeking to show you some kindness through praying for you. If you have a prayer need, please come grab one of our prayer partners and let them pray for you. They'll be on the sides. If you're here today and you're like, hey, I don't think I'm a Christian. A lot of this just sounds foreign to me. You're talking about a relationship with God. I don't think I have that. Would you please come talk to one of us? Prayer partner, pastor, one of our elders. Let us talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with this God. If you're here today and you're like, hey, I want to get more connected here, or I want to get baptized, or just something stirred up in you, again, grab one of us. If we're kind of occupied, you can always stop at the welcome desk and just say, hey, I'd like to talk to a pastor about such and such, or I'd like to talk to somebody about serving or getting more connected or in a community group or whatever it might be. So I want to leave you with that and pray for you, and then our worship team will come back out. Father, thank you for this really helpful description of what it looks like for our love to be genuine. God, you've commanded us to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And then you've explained to us and you've shown us what that looks like. Father, I pray that Solid Rock Church, that we could grow as a people in our love for you and our love for others. That our genuine love, our sincere, irrevocable love for you would be just like super obvious, God, in the way we interact with one another. And we need to grow in that, God. Would you help us grow? That might mean for some of us just acknowledging that maybe we've been disconnected, or maybe for some of us repentance for being disobedient, or maybe for some of us just coming to you with our neediness and saying, God, I've been withholding my needs from you. So whatever that needs to look like, God, we pray you would do that work here at Solid Rock Church, that we could become a people who are known for loving you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We pray this in Jesus' name.